Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast at 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scripture. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. There's even a free Bible correspondence course that you can take through email. Please give it a look. And last, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible. We have completed the Old Testament, and we have completed most of the New Testament, and we are now in the book of 1 John, and we are down to chapter number 3, and that's what we will examine this morning. Let us begin by reading the first couple of verses of 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, the Apostle John wrote that the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. It is a wonderful and a spiritual blessing that God has provided for us by allowing us to be part of his family and calling us the children of God. We are in the family of God. We're in the household of God. And the world does not know us, and what that means, not know us, does not have a relationship with us, because we walk in a different path. We march to the beat of a different drum. We have a different focus. We have a different agenda. We have a different goal. Therefore, the world doesn't really know us in an intimate way, because we are going in two opposite directions. One of us is striving to live our lives by the standard and the dictates and the commands of our God in order to conform to the image of his Son, as we have a command to do in Romans 8:29. And the other is living for himself and for the world. Therefore, they are not compatible. They don't know one another. And in verse number 2, we're told that one day we will see him like he is, because we will be like him. That just simply means that we're going to be a spiritual being. Christ is a spiritual being, and one day we will see him like he is, because we will be like him. We will be a spiritual being. Verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We take on the pure character of our life because we want to have this hope. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. When a man or woman acts contrary to God's will, or he does things that are not contained in God's will, then he is acting in an impure fashion. He is guilty of sin. And anything that is contrary to God's will, that is called sin. Any activity that it might be that is contrary to what God calls upon us to do and has no authority behind it, it is lawlessness and it is sin, and sin will separate us from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And you know that he was manifested, that means he was made known, to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He made the perfect offering that gave us a remedy for sin. And according to this passage, he manifested, he made known his life because he wanted to take away our sin. And that's why he died, that we might be redeemed. And we can read that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor knows him. Whoever abides, we can't live in sin. We can't live in sin and claim to know the Lord. That is hypocritical. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. You see, If I practice righteousness, then I will be righteous. And if I practice sin, then my father is the devil. And why? Because he sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, God was manifested and made known his son in order that he might destroy the works of the devil, to give us a remedy that we might overcome the deception and the deceit and the sins that we are tempted to commit by Satan, our adversary. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, many people have taken this verse in verse 9 and have misconstrued the meaning of it. It doesn't mean that we can't sin, but we won't sin if the word of God, and that's the seed is the word of God, if it remains in us and it guides our life and it guides the decisions that we make, then we won't sin. We'll make good decisions. We'll make good choices because the seed remains in us. Read Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. The seed is the word of God. And as long as it remains in you and it is something that you constantly put before you and everything you do is determined by what the word says and the seed remains in you, then you won't sin. But when you forget what God's law is, when you take the seed out, or when you don't use the seed, then it will lead you into sin, and that will separate you from God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Again, if we don't do God's will, then we really don't belong to him. It is a step, it is a sign of our discipleship. If we do the works of the devil, then we belong to the devil. And if we practice righteousness, then we belong to God. And if we don't love our brother, this is a refrain that we keep reading in the book of 1 John, if we don't love our brother, then we don't truly belong to God, because one of the requirements of God is that we love our brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. God has been consistent that we must love one another. We must actively manifest and make known our love one for another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Why did Cain murder his brother Abel? Because out of jealousy. God said, did not accept Cain's sacrifice because it wasn't according to faith. It wasn't according to his instruction. And righteous Abel was accepted because he did so by the commandment and the dictates of God. And so in this passage, we see that he murdered him because his work were evil and his brothers were righteous. But who determined which ones were right and which ones were wrong? Which ones were righteous and which ones were unrighteous? God determined that, stipulated and based on his law and his instructions to both men. Do not marvel, my brethren, in the world, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who abides and does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, it doesn't actually mean that we're an actual murderer if we hate our brother, but it in essence says that if we hate our brother, we would just as soon be a murderer, because we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? We know that a murderer, an unrepentant murderer, a man or woman that takes innocent life and does not repent of it, cannot enter heaven. They do not have eternal life abiding in him. In the same manner, if we don't love our brother with all our heart, to have a genuine affection for our brother and a genuine love for him, then we live in darkness and we live in sin, and no eternal life is abiding in us because we're walking contrary to God's will. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay our lives down for our brother. He loved us enough to die for us. We should love our brethren enough to do the same. But whoever has this world's goods, sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? This is a rhetorical question. How can we say that we love our brother, we have blessings that have been given to us by God, the world's goods, our brother is in need, and yet we don't help him, we shut our heart, we don't share with him or give him the things that he needs? The proverbial question is, how does the love of God dwell in us? Well, the answer to that is, it doesn't. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. God just doesn't want us to speak about it. He doesn't want us just to talk about it. He wants us to demonstrate it. He wants us to demonstrate the love that we have for our brethren by our actions. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall be assured our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we will receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Notice in these passages, it emphasizes that we can know and we are known that we are of the truth. Why? Because we follow God's will. We have confidence in God and in our hearts because we are commending ourselves and conforming ourselves to the teaching of his word. And we know and can have the confidence that whatever we ask, we will receive from him. Because why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing because they are in accordance with his will. On the same hand, when we don't do his commandments, when we don't follow his will, we will not receive the things that we ask. And why? Because we're displeasing to him because we're not following his word. And then this chapter ends up in verse 23 and 24. And this is a commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he also gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he who is in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which God has given us. We know that we abide in Christ if we keep his commandments. And this is a commandment that we love one another. That's one of the commandments. And when we keep that commandment, we know that we abide in him. Now, he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. Our relationship with God and our fellowship with God to continue is based upon our continual obedience to his will. There are those in the religious world that tell us that once you've been saved, you're saved forever. And it doesn't matter what you do in the body, your actions are not material to whether or not you're going to be saved. You're saved, and what you do in the body really doesn't matter. Well, this chapter shows that's not true. That if we want to abide in him, we're going to have to abide in his word. We're going to have to keep the commandments. Jesus said in another book written by the Apostle John, in the Gospel of John, he said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This is one of the ways that we may make known and manifest to God that we belong to him in that our relationship with his commandments. God did not just give us suggestions. He gave us commandments. And we must conform those commandments to our lives and allow it to direct us and conduct us in the way that we live and conduct our lives here on earth. And we know that we'll give an account of the things that we've done in the body because the scriptures confirm that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, that we will give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. We're going to give an account of that. And so, if I truly love God, and God dwells in me, and his Son dwells in me, then his Word is going to dwell in me, and it is going to be very apparent because my life will be in conforming to the teachings and the keeping of the commandments of God. Ladies and gentlemen, are you living your life in conformance to the commandments of God? If you're not, then you truly don't love him, and you're truly not abiding in him, and that makes you risk your eternal life.